Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number to call in and bring up whatever's on your mind. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And are you afraid enough? Have you been afraid enough today? Because if you haven't, you should know that our government, who only exists to help us, allegedly, is warning us of a national security threat.
The tyrants, despots, and thieves are warning us of a national security threat. Is it them? Are they warning us of us? Aren't they warning us of them, finally?
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not, because they're our saviors. I even got a little annoyed because I don't know who's running the Free State Project's Twitter right now, but they've tweeted the other day, like, politicians are our servants, not our masters, and we need them to remember that. And I just commented, ew, I don't want them to be either one. They're parasites.
Yeah.
They're the parasite class for sure, and it's nice to think that they might be our servants, but the reality is they're not our servants. They think they are our leaders. These tyrants, despots, and thieves think they own us, think they rule us, and think they have the right to impose their will upon us, except they don't. They're just people with titles.
Well, they shouldn't, but they kind of do.
Well, it doesn't change that they have a right, but they have grabbed the power that enables them to do that.
I also agree with you, Bonnie. I don't like the, like, oh, they're our servants. Like, I don't want them to be our servants.
Right.
I think that's weird. Like, either way, like, I just think that the position shouldn't exist.
Right.
And it's weird for, like, I don't want them to serve me. I don't want them to speak on my behalf, to represent me. I don't want to participate.
It's like, I don't need Joe Biden, who can't even stand trial because he's not mentally equipped to like protect me. I don't need that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's going to be our servant. Okay.
No, these people definitely aren't our servants, and I don't want Joe Biden protecting me either. I think I can do my best at protecting myself or hire someone else to do it.
Right. I don't want, even like down to the level of the cops, I don't really want them to protect me either, but that's a little bit of a tangent, just because of the fact that our quote-unquote public servants in D.C., the tyrants and despots and parasites and thugs, are warning us that the parasite class in Russia is now a threat to us because of what? Because of nukes in space.
Oh, well, I thought the U.S. government had I thought the tyrants and the U.S., parasite class had their own nukes in space.
I didn't know they had them in space, to be honest,
I didn't think they were in space.
Yeah, I don't think they're in space, but, you know, they do have a space force, and they could easily put them in space.
Yeah, that's a good point. And they also have already gotten those rods of the thunder, or whatever they call them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think they have those.
Yeah.
I think so as well. Yeah, I forgot about that, but
creepy.
It is creepy. It's like it's like something that you would think a villain in, like, a superhero movie would do. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't sound like something that real human beings should be doing.
Like, I don't understand the whole idea that you think you're doing anything good working for the U.S. government, creating nukes and stuff, but at the point where you're creating, like, a giant rod that drops from space and lands on the ground and kills people because it's hit at such speed, which is what the Rods of Thunder things I referred to are, how can you possibly not think this is evil. Like, I don't know. Maybe nukes, they're kind of less personal. You're like, it just evaporates them. They don't even feel it. I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like...
I'm trying
like
to put myself in the headspace of a psychopath.
It's hard, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely really hard because... We don't think like psychopaths. We don't think that, oh, we're going to vaporize people. It's going to be so great. We don't think that way. And, you know, we haven't really graduated from cavemen throwing rocks and beating each other with sticks, except now our rocks and sticks are more distant, shall we say. They're more projectile-like and more deadly. And it's like, have we really learned the lessons from history that we need to stop killing each other?
Yeah, it seems to me that that is the obvious direction to go. That's why I still call myself a progressive, partially to set off the annoying conservatarian conservatarian libertarians, but also because the definition of the word literally describes what all libertarians should agree that they are, just people who want humanity to progress forward and do better every day. And
well, that should be the obvious goal, is let's do better every single day. That's why we're here. We're here to learn how to love each other and care about each other. And we don't need a parasitic ruling class to tell us to love and care each other by stealing money from us or stealing money from our neighbor just so we can care about the homeless or care about their favorite political program.
Yep. And we also don't need them to kill people for us or tell us that the other... gang members, the other gangs, are worse than the gang that they are.
Right.
So this is from ABC7News.com. It says, Republican warning of national security threat is about Russia wanting nukes in space. And I don't really know why it calls it like a Republican warning, because it was the White House's national security advisor. So the White House's national security advisor said Wednesday that he had already scheduled a classified meeting with congressional leadership before a top House Republican requested that President Joe Biden declassify all information that relates to a serious national security threat. So I guess that's why they're calling it Republican. So
yeah,
it was actually that guy, the top House Republican, doesn't say his name here. He broke the news kind of doing that. And then the White House's national security advisor was like, oh, I'd already scheduled a meeting. So I guess it's a little bit of tea there, like drama. So
oh, yeah.
It says, two sources familiar with deliberations on Capitol Hill said the intelligence has to do with the Russians wanting to put a nuclear weapon into space. This is not to drop a nuclear weapon onto Earth, but rather to possibly use it against satellites. It is very concerning and very sensitive, said one source who called it a big deal. It does sound like a big deal. I'm not sure exactly what satellites do for us, if I'm being honest. Like GPS, is that it?
They do a lot of different things.
Yeah, they definitely do a lot of things, like communications, for sure. GPS is definitely one. Communications.
I mean, there's like Starlink.
Oh, yeah. Internet access.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Satellites are definitely tools that... allow us to communicate clear across the globe.
I haven't seen one in a long time because I guess there's just enough light pollution in Keene. But I was driving kind of like some back roads and stuff, like right before you get to 101. I don't know, just a place in New Hampshire that is darker. And I saw one and I was watching it for a really long time. And I was, because when I first saw it, I was like, UFO. And
yeah, they get very commonly mistaken for UFOs. I remember when Tesla did the launch for Starlink, this was maybe like a year ago now.
Yeah.
It was during the summer, but a bunch of people were like, whoa, they're UFOs because there was 7 all in a row or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked very not normal. Like, you could tell it wasn't an airplane, and normally they're not one after the other.
I don't know if it's the same moment or the same day that you're talking about, because I know you did multiple launches, but I walked out of our house in Keene, New Hampshire, which faces south, the front door, and I texted in the house chat because I had to, like, leave. I couldn't just stick around and knock on the door. I was like, guys, there's definitely a UFO outside. Go look. Because it was so weird looking. I had no idea.
Yeah.
It looked like a, kind of like a comet, like a big round thing with a tail. I can't believe you could see that because it was launched from Florida. So, like, immediately people were like, I think it was like your husband, Matt, were texting back like, oh, it's not a UFO, it's SpaceX, and sent me a picture and was like, does it look like this? So I was like, yeah, that's so weird.
Yeah.
And those are, I just don't understand how I could see that from Florida. It was so weird. But
it could be the way the craft is traveling as it goes into space and goes into orbit.
Yeah, it must have been so high up. It just blows my mind. I can't really wrap my head around that. It's so weird. Like, obviously, there should be a bunch of stuff in between. I don't know. It was so crazy, and I definitely thought that was UFO, so I don't blame those people at all for thinking that's UFO. And, like, watching that satellite, I could definitely tell it was an UFO after a few seconds, but it was pretty cool to see. Like, you could see a bunch of lights on it. Anyways, so satellites, they're important. And Russia, it's not saying that they do have a nuke in space. It's just saying that Russia wants a nuke in space. And I think it's just a guess that they would be, yeah, because it says it would be to possibly use against satellites. I don't know.
I mean, I'm just wondering what kind of satellites would be a threat that they would, like, need to justify having nuclear weapons in space.
When they could just find a way to knock them out of space without a nuke, perhaps.
Well, that's a good point. Or they could just not. I mean, I don't know what kind of satellites would really be that. Like, because right now, as far as I know, the satellites that are orbiting the Earth aren't any sort of, like, weaponry.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they're speaking about, like, in the future they want to be prepared, but it just, it kind of sounds really ridiculous. And I would think that any sort of nuclear weapon that is orbiting the Earth would be used to, like, shoot downwards towards the Earth to attack another country. That's what I would think. And you really don't even need to, they wouldn't even need to do that, because you can nuke people from the ground. Like, you don't, I don't know, it just seems kind of crazy to me.
It seems kind of crazy to me, because I don't know enough about weaponry and things like that either. And so I just, it's frustrating to me to find out that we have a bunch of people still arguing over territory that's outside Earth's atmosphere and wanting to fight over whose satellites are doing what and who's going to put nukes to destroy them. It's just, it seems like Cold War fear-mongering to me again.
I know, that's the thing I was thinking when I first saw these reports. I was like, oh no, I'm going to live through, like, the second Cold War.
Yeah.
Kind of creepy. And it's, I think it's interesting timing, because Tucker Carlson just interviewed Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
And then that was just like Thursday, I think. Yeah, because
yeah, it was Thursday.
Yeah, we were talking about it on the show. And then a couple days later, maybe like Monday, the government in D.C., I don't know exactly who, I don't know, the Congress, whatever, they passed a bill that's giving a whole bunch of money to Taiwan and Ukraine and maybe Israel. Do you guys know anything about that?
Yeah, I did hear about that.
Yeah, I've heard about it too. And it's just like, you know, why are they continuing to send money to fund foreign wars when homeless need to be fed, or better yet, you know, how about we find ways to reduce spending entirely on foreign wars and things like that?
Well, then how will they pay their buddies in other countries, Riley? That's kind of selfish of you.
Well, I'm not interested in paying their buddies in other countries. I want to get paid.
I
just don't want to get stolen from.
Yeah, right. I agree. I mean,
I don't need to receive any money from them, them being the state.
Right.
But if they could just not take my money, that'd be cool. Right.
I agree. I don't want them stealing my money either, but they're going to, and it's really sad that people continue to justify it in the name of, oh, we gotta take care of the poor. No. The parasite class isn't taking care of the poor. They're robbing you blind, and they are merely controlling your life just so they can make it look like they're doing good for you.
Any money that the state gives to the quote-unquote poor is solely to make them dependent on the system.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, there is no good intentions there.
I know if you're on SSI, you cannot have over $2,000 in your bank account.
What exactly does SSI mean? I hear this.
Social Security income. So.
Okay.
Or any sort of disability.
Yeah.
I think that's SSDI, right? There's SSI and then SSDI.
Yeah, there's SSI and SSDI. SSDI gives you more money and SSI gives you less, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, so basically if you're disabled, you're not allowed to have any sort of savings.
Right, and it disincentivizes savings. It disincentivizes people working hard, saving money to buy a house. And to me, that's a huge tragedy, because there are working disabled people who want to buy houses, who want to buy property, who may want to do these things.
Be independent.
Right. And if they lose, if they have more than $2,000 in their bank account, they're going to lose their benefits. And now,
and not only lose them, but also have to pay them back, which
yes,
is incredibly, can
it's
be very
so,
challenging.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, why should I have to pay the government back if they, quote-unquote, overpaid me? Who are these people?
Right. And if the whole idea is that it's to help you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the other thing about it is if you're getting that stuff, you should buy Bitcoin with it. I heard that Bitcoin went up over 50K today.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Interesting. Like, right after they steal 107 Bitcoins from Ian, they, or at least officially own it, I guess. Ugh, that's disgusting.
It is a little disgusting. It's really sad what they're doing to Ian. And, you know, I saw an article, I think Bonnie saw the same article, where they talked about how much the settlement was actually going to be.
Oh, do you mean how much he is being ordered to give to the quote-unquote victims in the case?
The quote-unquote victims.
Yeah, so they're taking way more than this in general because they're taking a cut for themselves, of course, that's way bigger than any quote-unquote vulnerable victim is.
Why do they have to take a cut instead of giving everything to the quote-unquote victims?
Right,
because that's the whole point. That's what they wanted.
If this
the
was,
whole time.
This is the same situation as what we've been talking about since the beginning of this show. The government making it seem like they're helping the people, the poor people, the people who have been stolen from, blah, 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 the victims of crime or whatever. But in reality, it's actually all about helping themselves. So they're taking just in the Bitcoin aspect alone, ignoring the fact that Cassatious Bitcoins have BCH on them, so Bitcoin Cash, and something else, BSV on them.
Uh-huh.
Ignoring the dollars, ignoring the gold. So they took way more money than this, but, and I just, like, didn't do the math on it, because it's like, whatever, it's been missing for so long, because it was stolen in March of 2021. Just talking Bitcoin only, they're taking over $5 million in Bitcoin, and only 3.4, I think it was, is going to the quote-unquote victims. So the government's taking a paycheck, and part of that also goes to the IRS, which is, like, now being called a victim, I guess. I don't know.
You know, the parasite class isn't the victim here. They can find ways to get paid. They're always going to get paid. They are not the victims. There were no victims in this case.
And the thing is, like, everybody who took a plea deal that was arrested alongside Ian and then ended up taking plea deals, at their sentencing hearing, the judge made it clear, and the prosecution made it clear, they were like, there aren't any victims in this case.
But that's how, at the end, at, you know, the verdict stage of Ian's trial, they also made that clear.
Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden, once it came to sentencing,
they bring victims out. And I
think, well, it just doesn't seem
they
like...
They said that their explanation for that, it's really shoddy and annoying and dumb, but they say that, we can infer that the jury believed that. It's, like, so stupid. As soon as there's a conviction, they can, start talking in different terms.
There shouldn't... Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, this is all fake. It's all made up. Like, the whole entire criminal justice system is completely fake. It's completely made up. And it's just they make up the rules as they go, and they can essentially do whatever they want. And it's disgusting and despicable.
Oh, it is.
How are they going to say, we could just assume what the jury thinks?
Right.
That just doesn't seem... And, I mean, the jury was composed of a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they did think that. But it just seems like there isn't space for, like, assumptions. You know what I mean? Like, in a court of law, you'd think things would need to be more structured.
Oh, I agree.
It can't
definitely
just be based off of, like, what some guy in a dress thinks. You know what I mean?
Some,
like,
freaking
come on.
Random people picked off the side of the road who are not experts in anything. It's like
they literally weren't allowed to be. Like,
yeah.
If
they weren't allowed to know about Bitcoin, were they?
Yeah,
right.
No, if anyone knew anything about Bitcoin, like if they even had, like, heard of it or had any knowledge, they were not allowed to be on the jury. How is that? And I know we've kind of, like, drilled into this several times on the show, but it's just seriously, like, how could we even say that those are Ian's peers?
Yeah.
When they don't even have anywhere near the same level of understanding.
Yeah, so it's just crazy. For context, I feel like we get into this a lot, and then I forget all of a sudden that I'm not just, like, sitting in my living room talking to my friends about it, but Ian Freeman, he was convicted of, I think, like, 7 different crimes in connection to his selling Bitcoin peer-to-peer online, and so because of that, and he's the founder of our show, Ian Freeman, and he's my husband, and he's in jail right now because a jury of random people he doesn't know decided that he was conspiring to money launder and that he owed the IRS and he knew about it, which is so stupid because there was no evidence of that, and he's appealing, and I honestly really think he's going to win at least some of the charges, if not all of them, on appeal. And but until then, he just has to be in jail, even though it's like he's not a danger to society, and
he hasn't killed anybody or harmed anybody.
Right,
physically.
And people kill people, get out.
Well, there are.
Sooner
I,
than
I agree that there are victims in this case, but not as a result of like Ian is not the perpetrator in this case, right?
Yeah, right.
So there were scam victims, but that wasn't Ian's fault.
Right. And they lied to him in order to force him to do business against his will.
Yeah.
Like, he did not want to do business with people who were being scammed, so he had a rigorous question set, and I personally got to see exactly how that worked, and I heard specific people who are now getting paid a bunch of money lie to Ian and not just go, like, yeah, of course I... No, start an argument with him. Like, how dare you ask if I know my husband? Of course I know my husband. What do you mean? Like, honestly,
and then
these
lie
people
on
paid
the stand.
Actors.
Yeah, they probably were. They're probably all feds. That this probably the guy that
this
was scamming people
more,
was probably a fed.
This is nothing more than a show trial for the media to make it seem like the parasite class are the big, powerful people. Don't go against us.
Well, and it's also to scare people away from using Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Because the headlines just look way worse than when you look into things. Like, Ian published the entire transcript of the trial on his own website. Anybody can read the whole thing. Like, he's not trying to hide anything.
Of course not.
But who's going to read that as just, like, a passive, barely knows what Bitcoin is, doesn't know Ian, it doesn't affect their lives?
Yeah, he's going to take the time to read that anyway. They just want to read the headlines and read the bits of the article and say, yep. Guilty man,
I can't really blame, like, the average person for that. Like, when I saw the headline about, like, earlier we mentioned the Congress sending money to Ukraine, I literally just saw the headline and then I talked about it. You know, like, if something doesn't pique your interest, it doesn't. So that's what the mass media is counting on. And honestly, I'm talking to a defamation lawyer soon because they keep printing things that are completely untrue, and the information is out there for them. Like I said, Ian posted the whole thing themselves. Like, they're saying things like, fraudster Ian Freeman, convicted fraudster. He was not convicted of fraud. So I don't really know what I can do about that, but I'm just tired of just, like, letting it happen. Ian is like, oh, who cares? But I care. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. You can call in with whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160. Is Russia a bigger threat to us today than yesterday? 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
You
USA News Update. House Intelligence Committee Chair Mike Turner calling on President Biden to declassify information relating to a specific foreign threat that Congress had recently been made aware of.
We scheduled a briefing for the four House members of the Gang of Eight tomorrow. That's been on the books. So I am a bit surprised that Congressman Turner came out publicly today in advance of a meeting on the books.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says he had a planned meeting with Congressman Turner and other congressional leaders later this week. House Speaker Mike Johnson asserts that last week's Justice Department report on President Biden's handling of classified documents indicates his incapacity to lead. The special counsel described Biden as an elderly man with poor memory. Despite demands from Republicans, the White House confirmed that Biden will not undergo a cognitive assessment. And Mitch McConnell's sister-in-law, Angela Chow, has passed away at 50 following a car accident. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. That's the number you can call, and we have a caller on the line. But first, I wanted to tell you that Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, digital cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency made for spending. Dash transactions are irreversible, so Dash is great for merchants. Plus, its network is protected from 51% attacks by its Chainlocks technology. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Riley.
And Nikki.
And I'm going to go straight into the phones. We have Scott from New Hampshire calling in. Scott, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, Bonnie?
Hey.
Not much. I was just calling in. Seeing if you wanted to talk about Malay or any other topics.
I definitely want to talk about Malay. So I haven't been able to really, really follow it. Just been kind of busy this week. But I know that a lot has been going on there. I see it in the group chat that Well, and also I read his really cool statement that he put out since you were last on the show to talk Malay about Malay, because he tried to put this omnibus bill through their Congress, and it passed the first part, like I think the equivalent of their House. Scott will know. And then I'm not sure what happened, but somehow the government is like forcing it away, like.
Huh. So I haven't heard anything about any of this.
Yeah, so I haven't heard like much either. So
yeah, this is my
let's
first
hear some
time.
Updates.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a part of Malay's agenda was to cut spending, cut the structural part of government and allow them to cut down on crime, cut down on corruption, et cetera. And he did an omnibus bill, which was an accumulation of a bunch of laws. And this was everything from legalizing homeschooling to allowing people to defend themselves from crimes to privatizing companies to and it goes on and on. There were 600 articles.
Wow. Do you know if there's anything that, like, you would oppose in the bill? That's the one thing I really wished I had time to, like, read through it. But like you said, it's huge. That's what omnibus bills basically usually are. Was there anything
right.
in it that would be kind of bad and maybe we should be happy that that part didn't pass or anything?
I don't think there was. It was the most libertarian bill in the history of humankind.
Huh.
And,
interesting.
There might have been a few aspects of it that the PRO, the center right party, wasn't the center right party put into it that weren't great. I know there was one or two environmental things that was put into it. They weren't substantial, but they were. Some anti global warming stuff that the not Malay party but the PRO party put in there, but it wasn't anything terribly substantial. And this part of getting things passed is you need to make a few compromises. But what happened was it passed in general in the House. So about 56% of the deputies, the congressmen and women, they're called deputies, voted for it. So in general, it passed. They did a several weeks long session, commission session to figure out what they can put into the bill. So they put in 600 articles, and this is where they might have put in a couple anti-liberty things, but the vast majority was extremely liberty-focused.
That's good.
How big was this bill?
There were 600 articles,
okay.
So which is like kind of like 600 laws, 600 things that were going to be changed.
That's quite a few. It's quite a bit. I mean,
yeah,
is that the size of a typical omnibus bill in the United States?
I mean, they're totally different. The omnibus bills in the United States are just pork projects and spending projects. This had no spending projects.
Hmm.
This had government cutting projects. They were going to try to privatize every government business, for example, and criminalize violent crimes and that sort of thing. Most of which that a libertarian would agree with. So it was very different than our bill, and even. Like I said, homeschooling was something that Malay, believe it or not, Argentina bans homeschooling.
Really?
That's crazy to me.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's quite crazy. So, and that was in it. And Argentina basically bans self-defense. It has to be, quote-unquote, proportional.
Huh.
So if somebody's stealing it from you, basically you can't do anything, really, against them because they're stealing from you, but they're not violently attacking you. They're just stealing from you. So it basically makes people in Argentina sitting ducks to criminals. and they have to rely on the police force, which is insanely incompetent.
I bet. So did you say that, I knew he wasn't going to, like, legalize guns or anything, because just the culture down there, they would really not like that right now. Like, they've got to kind of focus on some other things first. But what are you saying that, what were you saying that this omnibus bill was going to do for that situation?
They're not legalizing guns.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Mainly because even the center-right party was against legalizing guns. I mean, Malay's party, I believe all of them support it, but they're only 38 out of 257. So they are, they're a small party in the whole legislature. So while Malay supports guns, he actually had to backtrack from that when he ran for president, if he even had a chance to get elected, because
I'm not like criticizing him for it or anything. I understand that there's other things he's doing that are really good, and it's like if you change the culture towards freedom, maybe one day that could change in people's minds. But I was just wondering, because you brought up like the whole things need to be like if someone steals from you, you can't hurt them unless it's considered equal to the crime. So was there something in the omnibus bill that was like going to change those laws?
Yeah, so it was, if somebody's attacking you or stealing from you, you can defend yourselves. And,
Well, that's better. That's a lot better.
And especially in your house or, if somebody enters your house, which is a huge, huge problem. It's a crime. Crime is outrageous. And it's been that way for a long time. Many house break-ins, many gruesome stories. So this would give criminals some pause in Argentina, it was a lot of stuff like that. Oh, and a couple of things it did is it really was one of the reason why it didn't ultimately pass. A lot of the articles, or they call them the chapters, is because it really was trying to tame down the corruption in the country. And unfortunately, a lot of the deputies that supported other aspects of the bill did not support the taming down of the corruption. For example, they have these trust funds that are administered by selected political parties. And this is like 2% of GDP, and this is a ton of money. And these are basically funds that cannot be audited and are extremely not transparent. And this is one of the big reasons it failed, is because a bunch of people, a lot of the deputies that supported other measures, wouldn't allow the auditing and the transparency of these trust funds. Many of them actually ran it themselves. So basically it did pass, in general. It passed in general, which seemed like a great accomplishment, meaning that the whole law passed in general. And then what they were going to do is they were going to pass every article in particular. So
like one by one.
One by one. And, so, they passed it in general, and basically a bunch of the one of the political parties that basically betrayed Malay, including a couple of these articles, were really close, and it was some of these supposed allies that voted against them because they didn't want to end the corruption. And it basically gutted the bill, and Malay pulled the whole bill back. So he basically said, "We're bringing the whole bill back because we're not passing anything. We're going to bring the whole bill back." So it failed. And since then, Malay's whole economic program is to end inflation and stabilize the country. That's really what he wanted to do. And this, Millay claims that this whole omnibus was a long-term bill that would increase the growth and the prosperity of the country in the long term. But since then, this bill did have a lot of spending cuts, and Argentina famously always has massive deficits. And Millay's goal is to reduce the deficit.
And a deficit is like how much spending versus how much GDP?
Well, basically, what we mean by deficit is you have government spending, and then you have what you take in from taxes.
Okay.
And if you spend more than you take in from taxes, what you have to do is, one, issue debt that people pay for later.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other thing which Argentinians constantly do is print money. So you can just print money and have that new money pay for the spending.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, sounds like something the United States government does.
And I mean, just in 2023, the inflation was 200%. And
that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, Argentina. Wow, that's 200% in Argentina. Wow, that's a lot.
It's always going up too. So like prices are always changing.
Yeah.
Right, and it was actually accelerating. So it was 200% and accelerating rapidly. It was certainly going to what they call hyperinflation, which is the money has no value whatsoever. And that would put about 90% of the people in the country into, like, we're talking poverty, and we're not talking American poverty. We're talking Argentinian poverty, where people eat out of the garbage poverty.
That's definitely poverty. I don't know if I've ever experienced poverty, and I don't know of many people in the United States that have experienced that kind of poverty. Maybe some homeless people have, but probably not in the United
States. Not on like a wide scale.
Yeah.
Like they're probably already seeing it there.
I think for a while, yeah.
Yeah. I think there's just, you know, when you completely take away the middle class because of an economy essentially being in ruins, you'll see that, like, really drastic where, like, a lot of people are really, really poor, and then you have, you know, like, the privileged who are just completely disconnected from the reality of,
just living
like, the
like
average...
Larry.
Yeah, like, from the average person, right? And we don't see... We're kind of starting to move in that direction in the U.S., but we don't see it as dramatically. Like, there's still a middle class in the United States, and I think that kind of like harshens the blow
and
a little bit.
Our currency here in the United States is still relatively stable, and our social programs are generally pretty good with stable currencies. But you know, if there isn't a stable currency, then your social programs are worthless.
And I met Scott's absolutely beautiful and super sweet wife that he's talked about on the show before, because she's from Argentina, and her mom, so Scott's mother-in-law, and they were telling me, like, I was telling them, obviously, I want to go to Argentina, and we're talking about Argentina, and they were telling me, like, if I go there, like, I will have a good time, I'll just, like, keep your wits about you and that type of stuff, and don't wear any jewelry. Like, there's a lot of, like, stealing there right now. I think it'll get better as people...
Or flash your phone.
Oh, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, don't make sure people don't see your phone. Don't, like, you know, have it out all day. And
I think that's generally, like, pretty solid advice when you're traveling. Is, like, don't, you know what I mean? Like, don't break. I always kind of, I guess for people that are just going to, like, a luxury resort, it's a little different. Like, you can have, like, the name brand, like, Louis Vuitton luggage and stuff like that, but... I always kind of, you know, like you tone it down when you travel, especially if you're kind of like backpacking style, not on a resort and doing fancy. Like if you're just like really kind of visiting a place, you kind of, you know, you don't want to look like an easy target, because especially for people who already don't know the language, you don't know where you are, you don't know the geography. It just makes
you an easy target because you're more vulnerable.
And just
sure.
Some places are just worse than others in that regard, and I think it's the government's fault. It's not like, you
absolutely.
Know, the people are just bad there or something. It's like anywhere that there's like a rough side of the city, it's usually going to be like leftist progressives destroying it and stealing from those people and then quote-unquote helping them with welfare. And to Nikki's point about there being kind of like less of a middle class in places that are experiencing this, like, almost hyperinflation level economy and bad, you know, economy. Well, they also were telling me that, like, even if I go to Buenos Aires, that there is kind of, like, you'll be in the nice spot, and you'll walk a few steps, and you're in a bad spot. And then you walk into a nice spot, and you're in a bad spot. Like, there's... It's all mixed in together.
Yeah, it's not really segregated like it is in some
areas. Places.
Yeah.
But I feel like we really derailed what Scott was trying to tell us. So, Malay, he pulled back the bill. Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I'm just like, this is definitely one of my favorite topics right now. So I enjoy talking about Argentina. I know Scott does, too. And I hope the listeners do, too, because if you're a libertarian, I really just think you need to be interested in what's going on in Argentina right now. There is the only ANCAP president in history.
I mean, it's an exciting thing. My big thing, my big concern is that, you know, we can advocate for freedom through government programs or government means all we want, but people's hearts have to change. You have to convince people that liberty is more important than government programs, and that's really hard to do. Cultural changes don't come from the top down, they come from the bottom up, typically.
Yeah, that's true. Malay had to develop and grow a whole base of supporters.
I'm sure he did.
Really?
And that's exciting.
That really, that really spread his message, decentralized message, and they really dominated the social networks. And Malay still pretty much dominates the social networks.
Sounds kind of like Ron Paul, so, you know? Like, he was getting crazy big on MySpace while the other politicians were not getting talked about on there at all. And, like, all the young people really loved Ron Paul. They just, like, really pushed him down. And honestly, I think the voting in the United States is just fake. And they just got rid of... Well, what do you think about this, Scott? I heard that they had just gotten rid of electronic voting, like, the year... This was, like, the first election where there was an electronic voting. Do you think that helped it be more honest and helped Javier Milei win?
Yes. There was a lot of fraud still, but yes, I think it did help him. I think it did help him. I don't know how unreliable electronic voting is. I wouldn't trust it. But yes, they use paper ballots, and he definitely in the general election, there was tons of fraud. There were certain towns at Massa, the Kirchner Peronis got 100% of the vote, which is
impossible.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a bunch of towns like that, especially in this, one of the provinces. And the second time around, however, both Malay and his new partners, kind of the center right, all volunteered to be like vote counters. And the amount of fraud went way down, and Malay, he went from 30% to 56%. So, I think that there's some truth to that. I know that I thought the paper ballots have always been a thing, though. There, I would have to look into the electronic. I don't see why the Kirchners, if they have power, would try to make an election, and they did have power the last 4 years, would try to make an election more fair.
Yeah, that's a good point, right?
Yeah, someone doesn't like to have a fair election, obviously, because they got to keep their people in power, and if we let the people really have the power to vote, then we can't have that. There might be a rebellion.
I wanted to know what you thought about that, because it's like, I hear some people talk about how Javier Milei is just a psyop, and that means that basically, like, the government would be doing psychological warfare against the people by, like, tricking them into voting for this guy, and he's going to do change, and then in reality, he's just a puppet the whole time.
Does that mean that, in their opinion, Donald Trump is a puppet, too?
Well, I think that this is, like, libertarians that are saying that, so I'm sure they believe that Trump is also a puppet. I mean, he is. I mean, it's so obvious.
Sure.
But the thing is, Trump said all these things, and whether you agree with it or not, like, it doesn't matter. He said he was going to do all those things. He got into office and immediately did not do any of them and had 4 years and didn't do any of it. And Javier Milei got in and basically immediately started changing things.
A lot. Yeah, he got a lot done immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How long is Javier Milei going to be in power?
Oh, yeah, I keep wanting to figure that out. I keep forgetting.
He's got a four-year term.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
Excellent.
Great.
Well, my opinion on this is, for one, the economy was about to blow, and just blow. And I don't think the opposing party, there was the amount of debt that they had, the amount of inflation that was rising so rapidly, the economy was about to blow, and it's actually a playbook of some of these South American countries to, and they did this to a president named Rua, and at the, and that was, I think, halfway decent at the beginning of the 21st century, where they, the Peronists will be in power, and then they'll do so badly that somebody better will win, or sometimes they almost let them win, and then the economy just collapses under them, so that maybe they'll have to default on debt, or they'll get an inflationary spike, and then they come back into power again, and that's what happened with Mauricio Macri. He was not corrupt when he won in 2015. He was not corrupt, and he was halfway decent guy, but they basically wouldn't let him do anything, and the economy got even worse, and then they went into power again. So that's part of their playbook. And then if you're talking about the U.S., I think that the U.S., like, let's say the intelligence agencies, the CIA, I think they do have influence, but I don't think they're omnipresent. I don't think they control the world. I sure as heck don't think they control a lot of the South American countries. Why would they really care?
Hmm.
And let's say you're a CIA agent in Argentina, and you see people eating out of trash, that's extreme poverty in Argentina. Maybe you have half a heart and be like, yeah, I wish, maybe these people deserve to have, not eat out of the trash.
Well, that's what psychopaths are. They just don't care about the feelings of others. They can't put themselves in other people's shoes. All they see when they see other people is a tool for their own good. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live. We're talking about updates on what's going on in Argentina, where they have the world's first anarcho-capitalist president, and that's a big deal because he calls out the parasite class for what they are, just like Free Talk Live, the only radio show in the United States that does. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.